Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. All right, we got an awesome show lined up for this Wednesday, so buckle in, right?
Yeah, we have got a fun one. We're just on Tuesday, Stephen. You're a day ahead of yourself, but that's okay. We can be
that
amazing
happens.
Any day of the week. And, yeah, you know, you're just eager. You're eager to get through.
I'm rushing the week. You know this Labor Day business, Phil. It just messes me up. I don't know about you, but
me too. Yeah. It's what is it? Somebody put a thing up on Facebook. It said it's the Mondayest Tuesday that you'll ever have to endure, right? That's what today is. So naturally, you're
like
leaping ahead to Wednesday. It does sound like a country song. If you work into getting cheated on and a beer in there, I think you got a hit possibly. All right. So you know what we're doing is we're working our way through Thomas Frey's 72 stunning things in the future that will be common 10 years from now that don't exist today. And we're on week 3 of doing this. Can you believe we've been doing this for the past 2 weeks? And we're going to wrap it up this week. And next week we're going to actually speak with Tom himself, so that's going to be very exciting to kind of go over, you know, the list and talk about some other stuff that's going on in his world. I'm looking forward to that, and man, I'm looking forward to what we're going to be talking about here tonight. You know, I called the show "Attack of the Drones."
Absolutely,
because I'm a geek and I can get away with things like that, but. But the headline before that tagline, Attack of the Drones, I think was wrong. I said future transportation. But, man, drones are about more than transportation, aren't they? The logistics. I mean, they're about entertainment. They're about everything, aren't they?
Right. It's and you could transport, like, you know, stuff with it. And we'll get into this. But, yeah, drones are, you know, any possibility, you know, a possible thing that you can think of involving putting something in the sky eventually could be handled by drones. And
right.
And so we're going to get into some of this.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the examples that Tom gives, and then we can throw in our own as we go. His first example is fireworks dropped from drones. And what I love about this one is who would have thought of that, right? But it's a great idea. You know, the thing about fireworks is you use an awful lot of the ignition getting them from the ground up to the sky, which is why there's so many displays you see anymore where they launch them from somewhere higher up, right? You're in a venue and the fireworks aren't launching from the ground.
Right.
They're on some raised platform. They're coming up from the top of the building that you're in or something like that. You know, so you get that extra loft. The less fuel you spend on getting up there, the more fuel you have for, you know, making an amazing display. Well, gosh, what if you carried them up with drones, right? Now, these have to be some pretty durable drones, I'm thinking, to be launching fireworks, or else they'd have to be way above where the fireworks blast, wouldn't they?
Well, think about drones, a group of drones with, you know, sort of a hive mind, a swarm technology, right, where they you know, throughout this fireworks display, they're moving almost a dance in the sky, right, to be in exactly the right place to launch the next thing. And, you know, you could put, you know, 4th of July, you could put a very realistic flag in the sky with fireworks because, you know, your drones are exactly where you need them to be, right? And,
exactly, yeah.
Things like that. I mean, you could all sorts of designs that are just not possible for a fireworks display. And you know, and I realize this is something we're going to mention later in the show, but, and in fact, you know, the very next thing we're going to talk about, concert swarms. Well, what if during the fireworks display, I mean, these drones are out there blasting out, you know, God bless the USA on 4th of July or whatever, right?
Right, yeah.
Or, you know, New Year's Eve, putting, you know, all glang zong or whatever for New Year's Eve, right? I've just butchered that. But anyway, that's the sort of thing that would be possible with having drones involved in these shows. That's cool. I love that idea.
It's interesting because you can really start to picture the possibilities when you think about it. And when you think about a big swarm of drones, you know, when you think about several hundred, maybe even a few thousand drones up there, you could draw some pretty sophisticated pictures. And, you know, if you coordinated what color of light was going on, you could actually, you know, you can imagine almost kind of an animated scene being played out in fireworks. It could get really sophisticated.
You've seen mist screens, haven't you, I bet, where, you could do that with a group of drones could be dropping dewdrops, right, and be projecting an image, or you know, even a moving image on a misty screen right in the middle of the fireworks display. That kind of stuff is possible.
That would be super cool. How about this banner pulling drones? Old school advertising brought closer to Earth. You can picture that. I mean, this is still a very popular, or has become again, I should say, very popular form of advertising. It gets used quite a bit in Colorado. I don't know if you see it around Louisiana much, but people love to, you know, when there's something big and outdoorsy going on, inevitably an airplane will fly by advertising something, right? It's got the banner hanging out the back, but it's got to be a big event, you know, to justify the expense. I mean, that's a fairly expensive form of advertising.
And it takes a fantastic pilot to pull that off, Phil. Do you know how they do that? How they put that banner behind the plane?
You know what? I always just figured they got up in the air and then they unfurled it or something, like a flag hanging out behind. I've never thought about it.
No, it's more like what happens when you land a plane on an aircraft carrier, you know, where the hook catches onto something. You actually fly low, and you hook onto the banner as you fly low with a hook hanging out the back of the plane. And it takes a great pilot to be able to do that. So, you know, next time you see one of those banners, you know, kind of nod to the pilot because it's a good one up in that airplane.
For sure. And that's actually a great example of the kind of thing that only naturally gets automated when you can, right? Because, why subject a human to that level of risk for, you know, advertising, pardon me, a law firm or something like that, right? You know, just to give a random example. whatever product.
I couldn't agree more.
You don't want to put somebody's life at risk for that, so you use a drone, right? I mean, that's a great example for how drones will be better. Also, you can imagine them being deployed for much smaller events, you know, because they could be pulling littler banners, they could be flying much closer to the people. I mean, you know, it's, actually, when you think about it, pretty interesting what the almost kind of personalized and specialized applications of something as really old school as that form of advertising might be, but I like
think of the Goodyear blimp is an incredibly expensive thing to operate, right? And it's only done for the biggest of football games. You could have a drone dragging a Goodyear banner behind it and providing the views of the stadium and the football game from above, you know, at a tiny fraction of the cost of putting the blimp in the sky, right? So
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
things like that.
And and I don't know if we get into it tonight or if we're going to talk about it tomorrow on the VR and AR show, but the application of drones just for filming sporting events, just for, you know, providing the camera work for sporting events, is about to become huge. I think within 10 years we're going to see that become an enormous part of watching sports, just because the access they can provide. You know, the Goodyear blimp, you do get that sky view, but that's way up there, that thing, you know. And over the
You're looking at ants down there. Imagine how beautiful it would be to, follow the guy that's running down the field with a football, like right over his shoulder, basically, and you know, basically be there as he's running the ball in. I mean, that's the kind of shot you can get with a drone, and it wouldn't have to.
As
interfere
long as
with
they
you.
Can
you
stay out of the way
with
of the
like
ball,
like a telephoto
lens.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
They
got to
stay out of the way of the ball.
That's right. They can't be involved in any way in the you know, they already have the cameras on the cables and things like that, and they're pretty good at keeping those things out of the way of kicks and things like that. So I would imagine you could do the same with a carefully piloted drone could provide views that you wouldn't be able to get any other way, and that could stay out of the way of the game. So.
Yeah, and it's all the advantages of those cameras on a cable times 1,000, right? I mean, it's just so much more so much more sophisticated what they'll be able to do. It really puts you into the action. In fact, just as a spoiler to tomorrow night's show, in fact, what we're going to talk about is one of the applications of virtual reality technology, is how, you know, having drone perspectives from, or excuse me, drone video feeds from every perspective will create this kind of VR immersive sports viewing experience, right, where you'll actually be in there pretty much, you know, in 3D space in real time, kind of, you know, experiencing the sporting event with the athletes. But we'll do that one tomorrow. That's not really a drone thing. That's more of a VR thing. And you know how I know that, Stephen? Because that's how Tom wrote his list.
How's that?
So that's... So that's
and,
how we're getting
and,
it.
And tomorrow's Wednesday, not tonight, right?
that's correct. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So other good ones here. I like this bird frightening drones for crops like sunflowers, where birds can destroy an entire field in a matter of hours. This is a great idea. You know, kind of the old scarecrow idea. And then, Stephen, I think you had a kind of an expansion on that idea, didn't you?
Well, yeah. What is the new Tom Hanks movie that's coming out? It's based on the actual
Sully.
Event where the pilot had to land in the Hudson.
Yeah, it's called Sully. It's
the reason. Okay. Yeah. The reason that pilot had to put that plane in the Hudson River was because some birds took out both of two of his engines, and
right.
He couldn't maintain the altitude.
Right.
Didn't feel that he could turn around to land at the airport because. If you don't, you can't do a turn without losing altitude and potentially stalling. If you don't have enough power, so he basically it was straight ahead, and I'm going down and slowly, and I can only pretty much put the plane straight ahead, and the Hudson is where, you know, otherwise I'm going into buildings, so I'm landing in the Hudson. Did a beautiful job landing, and no one died, and that was it was a miracle, right? Well,
yeah,
what if
amazing,
you had
amazing moment.
What if you had drones that were, you know, would just hang around the ends of the runways and just, you know, keep the birds from coming in? You know, these drones are made to scare the birds away, and either sound or just, you know, fly at them or whatever to keep them from being around. And that's to me. That's that would be a removing, or at least a greatly reducing, a significant risk to aircraft. So I think you could definitely see that happening.
Well, I agree. Yeah, and that really takes you a major step beyond the old scarecrow. But for either of those applications, one of the things that's interesting about that is, you know, the scarecrow, you just put it up, right? Like. If the crows buy it, they stay away. If not, they're going to go eat the corn anyhow. But the cool thing about a drone is it could be activated. It could just be sitting there, right, doing nothing. And when the birds show up, that's when it's activated, right? You could imagine the same thing going on in the airport. You know, you got a few maybe up in the sky looking around, but as soon as there's any bird activity anywhere near the runways or anywhere on a path towards them, you know, activate drone swarm, right? A whole bunch of them just head towards those birds and herd them off in the right direction. It seems like, because I've often thought about, well, what is the long-term solution? You know, the real solution to this whole flocks of geese, you know, flying into airplane engines problem. And it seems to me like this is, if not it, this is one of the better ideas I've heard for it, frankly. I mean, this, you know, this could,
that's right.
Birds
had the sky before we did. And so, you know, we're glad to have birds, but there's times and places that we don't need them at all. And at the end of runways,
right,
are definitely one of those places. So, yep.
And they don't want to be in those engines anyway. You know, I mean, it's a win-win.
No, it was not a good. You know, 100% of the people got off that airplane, but we know that there was a couple of fatalities with the birds, right? So
at least a couple of geese. That was the end of the line for them, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely. You know, could. To do some, and keep the airport safer. That's the hope. So I think that would actually work.
And you know, when you think about it, the other thing that those drones could be doing is they could be providing all kinds of security measures for airports. You know, protecting against, monitoring against, well, really other drones, I'm guessing, come to think of it, right? I mean, one of the things they'd be looking out for would be, I was thinking about potential threats from balloons or from smaller aircraft and things like that. I was like, yeah, but also drones themselves could be pretty dangerous to airports. And then you have the drones there to make sure, you know, so you can see there might be a little bit of an escalation there, but all the more reason, Stephen, as you so often point out, to get on this right now, right. To start building the,
that's right.
Really smart defense.
Building
drones.
The defense before the offense gets too far. That's right.
That's right. How about this livestock monitoring drones for tracking cows, sheep, geese, and more? Seems to me like the Internet of Things should take care of this one for you, right? Do you really need drones flying around taking pictures of them? I mean, couldn't you just put an RFID chip on every, on each of your member of your herd or flock or whatever it is, and track them that way? Or am I missing something on that one?
Well, an RFID chip is passive, am I right? Pretty much. And so what you would have is you could have each of your head of cattle with these chips in them, but you'd need something that was out there actively looking for those chips and keeping track of them. And the drone could be it, and could provide real-time imaging to the rancher too. And imagine one of these huge ranches out west, Phil, in your home state, for example, big ranches covering tens of thousands of acres sometimes, and the rancher could literally be getting real-time imaging of, what cattle that are miles away from him are doing and making sure they're safe and, you know.
You can think about
when
there's wildfires, when there's blizzards, times when it would really be good to know where that livestock is. And right now it's pretty hard to track them down. But with a system like this, you would know immediately, right? And if you needed to get them someplace else.
Right.
You would be that much farther ahead of the game. Okay, now I get it.
And further on down the road, Phil, one other thing. Eventually these things become cowboys in the sense that a drone could be made to herd the cattle and to drive them if necessary.
I mean, if a little one can herd geese, a big one can herd cows, right? You just make it a little bigger and give it
that's
some,
right.
Whistles and clicks, you know, the sounds that the cowboys make. And, yeah. That's
get along
kind of a sad
bit.
Image.
So,
I
yeah, that's
say,
still.
You know? You know, the idea that robots and drones herding the cattle. I like the idea that the cowboys are out there doing that, but this is where automation takes you.
Hey, there'll still be a human cowboy out there too, but he's got some company in the.
Yeah, exactly. Mamas don't let your babies grow up to be drones, basically. Yeah. Okay, how about this? three-dimensional treasure hunts done with drones. I like this because it's just wacky, right? You know, you read that one, you go, that'll be fun. You know, you think about the implications there, particularly if you're this is another one, you know, not to question where he placed things on the list, but you could almost throw this one over in the AR too, right? Because drones would be a big part of making something like that fun, but augmented reality would too, you know, for having a big treasure hunt or scavenger hunt or something like that. But all kinds of gaming scenarios, you know, out in the real world, kinds of games you could play, logistical things going on. You know, you can picture these like massive games of capture the flag, you know, Stratego played out on an actual field, all kinds of things like that. And all of that being driven and supported by this kind of technology would be really, really quite fun. And then, you know, importantly, prankster drones send random stuff to random people and video their reactions. Am I the only one who's kind of creeped out by that one, or what do you think?
I think that there'll be reality shows that will take advantage of drones like that to hidden camera shows. I could see that drones being involved in something like that.
I just worry a little bit about what kind of random. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not too mean spirited, I would. You know, it could be amusing.
It could be a lot of fun. The scary side is when you start thinking about what kind of random stuff some people would send to random people. You know, it's that word random.
Right.
It's like.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I want just anybody sending some flying thing to my door, right? Because Lord knows what they're going to think is cute.
Right.
And I might not agree. Especially if there's some kind of crazy psycho, you know, but obviously there's potential for abuse and something like that. But then you would like to think also that the drones might be programmed so that if it truly is a prankster drone, you couldn't do anything too bad with it. Right. It would shut down if you tried to, right? Hopefully that would be the, some kind of built-in. Yeah, I was going to say prime directive, but Asimov's laws are even better. Yeah, so some kind of manners built into these prankster drones. Okay, so entertainment drones with projectors that fly in and perform unusual forms of live comedy and entertainment. And we were kind of hinting at this one with the fireworks, weren't we?
We kind of were talking about the mist screens, you know, just have droplets come down from the drones that you project onto. But, I think... what Thomas was getting here was getting at here was, you know, projecting onto screens that are a little less futuristic here. But that's this is cool. Yeah. And you could have things just happen, you know, in random public spaces just at random times. It could be interesting. I think this is the sort of thing that it could get old if it were overdone.
Yes. I like the prankster thing. The thing is, probably one of our big caveats about the age of drones is people are going to be throwing drones at every human task you can imagine, right? Every problem that needs to be solved, they're going to throw a drone at it, right? Everything you want to do, there's going to be some drone way of doing it. So we might get a little overdrone. But there are some really unique applications where this ability to move vertically, this ability to move in three dimensions, really does come in handy. And one of them is delivery. And one of my ideas that I added to this was rural and suburban mail retrieval. I'm not calling it mail delivery because I don't think in 10 years we'll be there. I don't think the U.S. Postal Service is going to be sending mail to our homes via drones in 10 years. And I'd be delighted to be proved wrong by them. But I think it is possible that within 10 years, we might have special PO boxes, special mailboxes, because a lot of people, get their mail delivered right to their door. And a lot of people have to go someplace to get their mail. I personally live in the suburbs and I have to go down the street, right, to get my mail. Depending on, you know, where you live out in the country, sometimes you have to go to the end of the road, right? Or you have to go even into town to a PO box, depending, to actually get your mail. But what if there was a special kind of P.O. box that, you know, only the drone could open? It goes in, and assuming it's not a big parcel or something like that, right, it can fly right up to the thing, suck the mail out, and take it right back to your house. You solve a kind of a last-mile problem for the post office, and also solve it in a really unique and helpful way for the postal customer, right? Because this would be the quickest way of getting your mail, for sure, and least hassle. I don't know. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. I think that's, you know, again, last mile, not full delivery using using drones, but, you know, sending a drone that could, you know, travel, I don't know, just a few miles, a few short miles to get the mail and return it. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, it's a big logistics challenge doing it now, and there aren't good solutions to it now. This seems to me that's a good one that drones could help out with. I got one more before we get to the.
Well, you know,
I know you got
what about an enterprise situation, Phil? Where, you know, what if we're talking a factory or something where things have to be delivered from one side of the factory to the other, doing things like that? You could similar drones could be doing things like this all the time. You know, running things from one side of a plant to another. You know, all
exactly.
day long, and
all kinds of logistics within a physical plant. Going back to the farm analogy, you know, you got all this hay that comes on a truck, but you've got cattle all over the place, right? Who knows? Maybe you could have a drone distributing that stuff. There's a lot of potential for within both agricultural and industrial settings for using drones to kind of manage those internal logistics. Now, one good one we had here that you pointed me out to this morning, no sailors needed, robot sailboats scour the oceans for data. This was a great story in the New York Times, and we'll just provide the link. But basically, this is showing not 10 years from now, but what drones are doing now in terms of gathering research. And then the one to tie it back to transportation, Stephen, you had this one on personal transportation inspired by drones. What's that all about?
Well, it's still a drone, I guess. We usually think of drones as being unmanned. That's kind of the definition of a drone, right?
Yeah, that's what drone means.
What
I
this
think.
Is, yeah, it this is a quadcopter that's large enough to take a human passenger. It is being manufactured by a Chinese company, and we should have the link also in the show notes, and
we do. Absolutely.
Pretty much, yeah. It will travel just a few short miles, but before needing to be recharged, and it's quite small. It would it's said to hold a single individual and a 16-inch backpack. I'm so anyway, it's very limited.
They're being very precise. Yeah.
Very limited.
I'm
you're being very
things,
precise. 17 inches, I'm sorry, you're out of luck.
That's right, forget it. No backpack for you, yeah.
Yeah.
As you make that turn from logistics and so forth to actual transportation, that's one of the things we'll have to look at very carefully is helicopters, and these are a variation on helicopters, these quadcopters, are not the most energy efficient ways of getting around. And so that is, maybe
right.
good for chasing off the geese, maybe good for moving small letters around, not so good for big parcels, not so good for people, maybe not so good for large cargo operations. But that remains to be seen, how much of this kind of design will be applied to moving us around, and how much of it will be applied to moving almost everything else in our lives around, which I think will be significant. And with that, gosh, we've run out of time. We're going to be back again tomorrow, which, by the way, Stephen, is Wednesday. With an all-new show, we're going to be talking about augmented reality and virtual reality. And until next time, live to see it.